Turn back with me to John 15. I think I can truthfully say for many years, or as long as I've tried to preach the gospel, I have been interested not in flowery sermons or impressing people, but I've been interested in what's going on. I've been interested in what's going on right now, the attitude which people have toward the living God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, eternal life is to know the living God. David said, O Lord, as the hart or deer panteth for water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, the living God. I want to know the Lord. I want the people to whom I preach to know the living God. And this week I was looking at John chapter 15. And about two or three verses just kept like a magnet drawing my eyes to them. Verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me. The world hated me. And then I looked at verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And the last line in verse 24, Christ said, now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now it would alarm this religious generation in which we lived if we in the pulpit today accuse them of hating the Son of God or hating the living God. But Christ said this to his day, his religious day, and I know it alarmed them. He said, they hated me and my Father. And then in the last part of verse 25, he said, they hated me without a cause. They hate me. They hate God. And they hate me without a cause. Now, when the prophets of old wrote of the Redeemer who was to come, Moses called him that prophet whom God would raise up from the midst of the brethren. Isaiah called him the one who would be crucified and slain. They called him God's elect. They called him the prophet. They called him the shepherd. But anyway, when the old prophets wrote of the Redeemer who was to come, they wrote that he would be despised and that he would be hated and that he would be rejected. Let me show you just two or three verses. First of all, in Isaiah 53, Isaiah, the prophet who wrote more of Christ, I suppose, than any other prophet. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah said in verse 3, talking about the Redeemer, talking about the Messiah, the Christ, he says, he is despised. He will be despised, hated, and he will be rejected, rejected of men. He will be a man of sorrows. He will be acquainted with grief, and they'll hide their faces from him. They will despise him. They will not esteem him. Hundreds of years before Christ came, Isaiah said, when he comes, they'll hate him. They'll despise him. They'll turn their faces away from him. They're not going to exalt him. They're not going to welcome him. They're going to turn their faces away from him. And then in Psalms 22, David wrote, and many of the Psalms, as you read them, you'll find they are what we call messianic Psalms. That is, they refer to the Messiah. David, while in a way speaking of himself, is speaking of the Messiah. He's speaking of the Christ. And Psalms 22, if you'll read it carefully later on, you'll find that the words which our Lord spoke from the cross, this is the scene of the cross. The words which Christ spoke from the cross are the words written in Psalms 22 by David. David's writing about the Savior. And he said in verse 6, I am a worm. And no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. This is the Christ, this is the Messiah talking here in Psalm 22. I am a reproach of men. I'm despised of the people, hated. Now turn to Zechariah. That's next to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 6. He's writing again about the Messiah. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. As you read the Old Testament, its prophecies and its types and its pictures, it is revealing Christ. And in Zechariah 13, verse 6, talking about Christ, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands?" That's the print of the nails. What are these wounds in thy hands? Now listen to what he said. "And then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." I was wounded in the house of my so-called friends. Now, the Old Testament prophet said he will be despised. He will be hated. He will not be exalted. They'll turn their faces away from him. He'll be wounded in the house of his friends. Now, when the Savior did come, the hatred began at his birth. Herod tried unsuccessfully to kill him. He did everything in his power to destroy this little child. His family had to flee to Egypt to escape the wrath of the king. Then when he grew up and began his ministry, first thing off the bat, the religious people turned thumbs down on him. They ridiculed him. They called him the friend of sinners. On several occasions, as I'll read to you in a few moments, they attempted to stone him. And they cast him out of Nazareth, and they tried to murder him. They paid false witnesses to lie on him. They paid his disciples to betray him. They despised him so and hated him so that they spit in his face. And in cruelty, they would grab hands full of hair and pull it out of his face and his head. They hit him with the open palm. They beat him with their fist. And they finally scourged him with 39 stripes. And then their hatred took him during one of their religious celebrations. In fact, the most important and the highest religious celebration, the Passover. During the Passover, while they were in Jerusalem, keeping the feast of the Passover, the week of the Passover, they took this man Jesus outside the city wall and nailed him to a cross. Didn't tie him to the cross. They drove spikes in his hands and feet and nailed him to the cross. Now they hated him, despised him. And they did everything in their power to destroy him. Why? Why? Well, they didn't hate him because he healed people. Turn to John chapter 2. That wasn't what brought it on. I hear the faith healers and the professional healers in the merchandise business telling people that they're hated because they go about healing people. That people aren't hated for healing. If you can heal somebody, more power to you. I'm for you. If you can relieve anybody's sore toe, you do it. I don't like to see people hurt, and I don't think anybody here does. If you can heal them with a pill or whatever you want to heal them with, or with a touch of a hand or a rag, more power to you. Christ went about doing good. He healed people. They didn't hate him for that. In fact, they followed him. In John 2:23, when he was at Jerusalem, at the Passover, this was before his crucifixion in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. It was impressive, very impressive. And there just multitudes followed him. And if he'd just stayed in the healing business, he wouldn't have been crucified, because nobody objects to that. And then they didn't hate him because he fed them. Turn to John 6. One time he fed something like 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Now, religious organizations aren't hated for their charitable enterprises. if we can get some care packages across the water and feed some hungry children, brethren, more power to us. I'm for it. Everybody else is that's got a heart at all. And these religious people in the day of Christ, they were in the charity business too. They were in the alms business. In fact, these beggars sat in the doors of the tabernacle, of the temple rather, begging. And at the gates, and the religious people helped them. There's no objection to that. In John 6:25, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? The Lord answered and said, I say unto you, verily I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the healings, the miracles. You seek me because you ate the loaves and were filled. You're following me because I fed you. That's why you're following me. You want some more food. And they didn't object to him feeding people, and then they didn't object to him raising the dead, really. In fact, if you'll turn to John 12, it was right after he raised Lazarus from the dead that they wanted to make him king. Did you know that? In John chapter 12, in verse 10, now the chief priests were alarmed because they had a religious political position to defend, but the chief priest in verse 10 of John 12, chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They wanted this whole outfit put to death, Jesus and Lazarus both. But that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and they went forth to meet him. And they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Now, these are the same folks that a little while later cried, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, away with him. But he had just done a marvelous thing. He'd just raised a fellow from the dead. And they were impressed. And they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They rejected and hated him, not because he fed them, not because he healed them, not because he did miracles, not because he raised the dead, not because they expected a kingdom on this earth. I'll tell you why they hated him. They hated him because of what he preached. What he preached, what he said. Now let me show you that. Turn to John 10. They hated him because of what he said. In John chapter 10, his doctrine offended them. His doctrine divided them. And it's the same doctrine that divides men today. It's the same doctrine and preaching that will cause men either to love Christ or to hate Christ today. Not this neutral position that most of the religious world is in. And they're in that position because they haven't heard his doctrine. They haven't heard his word. They haven't heard what Christ actually said. They're worshiping another Jesus by another spirit. They're preaching another gospel. But listen to John 10. Down here beginning with verse 14. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I'm sovereign in this matter. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And there was a division. There was a division. Therefore, again, among the Jews, for these sayings. That's why there was a division. He said something. He declared who he is. And who sent him, and what he came to do, and why he came to do it. And there was a division because of what he said. Now, I want to give you this morning five things. I want you to remember these five things. I think they're important. I've gone through the New Testament, and I've picked out the places in the New Testament when the real anger and hatred of the people rose up against Christ, when they really vented their wrath against him. I picked out the verses where they actually reached down at this particular time and picked up stones to stone him. And I read back the verses preceding those examples to find out what he said that made them so angry. What he said that brought out this hatred, what he said didn't make them hate him. The hatred was already there. What he said brought it out. What he said revealed the hatred. Now, you say, well, people today don't hate God. If the preacher said what Christ said, that hatred would be revealed. It's there. But it's under a religious veneer. It's under a veneer of good works. It's under a veneer of charity. It's under a veneer of a false affection. It's under a veneer of religious emotionalism. It's there. And the preachers are doing everything in their power to avoid bringing it out. Like one lady said, our pastor is really maturing. He found out what we wanted to hear, and now he's preaching it. Now, that's the reason the hatred is not being revealed. The preachers don't want to disturb and divide. Christ did. Now listen to him. I'm going to show you why he said they hated me. And I'm going to show you what he said each time and how this hatred was brought out. Now, first of all, in John 10, right where we are, verse 31. I looked down here and it said in John 10:31, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now, fellas got to be awful mad to stone you. He's got to be awful mad. And Christ had said something that made these people so angry that they picked up stones. And he always said it. He didn't say it like the ministers today say it so that nobody can understand it. Just as Paul said, wisdom of words, that the cross of Christ becomes of naught. But he said it so they could all know what he meant. And that's when they picked up stones. What did he say? Well, look back a few verses, beginning with verse 24. Now listen to it. We'll find out whether or not you hate him. If you'd have been there, what you would have done. Well, you're here now. Listen to this, John 10:24. Then the Jews came round about him. They said, how long are you going to make us doubt? If you are the Christ, if you're the Messiah, if you're the one for whom we look, if you're the Redeemer of Israel, tell us plainly. Now watch it. Jesus answered, I told you, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. That's why you don't believe me. I told you, my sheep, my elect, my people, they hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. You don't hear me because you're not of my sheep. You don't know me because you're not of my sheep. You don't follow me because you're not of my sheep. This is the Lord speaking now, fella. Better be careful. What he said made them so angry they wanted to stone him. The hatred was already there. And he brought it out by what he said. And this is what he said. And this is why they hated him. And this is why they wanted to stone him. And I'll tell you, men are no different today. The flesh is no different. The evil, wicked human heart is no different. And if our preachers would declare what Christ said right here, they'd find out there's some folks in their churches that hate Jesus Christ too. They don't hate sweet little Jesus boy. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't hate Jesus superstar who didn't know where he came from or why he came or where he was going. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't hate their idols. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not being preached. We're hearing sweet little Jesus boy. We're hearing Jesus superstar. We're hearing the idols, another Jesus. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They'll never perish, my sheep. I know them. I've known them with an everlasting knowledge and love. I've always known them. I know them now and always will know them. He shall declare unto many in that day, I never knew you. And he said, my Father gave me these sheep. My Father's greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You or anybody else. I and my Father are one. We're one in covenant mercies. We're one in covenant blessings. We're one in covenant redemption. We're one in covenant calling. And we're one in covenant confirmation. We're one. And that outfit took up stones to stone. Now he said, hold on here just a minute. Look at the next verse. Now hold on, hold on. I've done many good works among you. For which of these do you stone me? And they said, we're not stoning you for doing good works. We're not against religion. We've built churches all over our city. We've given our income to churches. We've supported the poor. We've tried to get people to quit their meanness and go to heaven, not go to hell. That's not what we're mad about. You're a man, and you claim to be God. And it's just not possible for a man to be God. That ain't possible, and we can't believe it. You claim to be God. You claim to be a sovereign God, and we don't believe it. It's not possible. It can't be that a human being walking around in flesh can be God Almighty. It can't be. It can't be that a human being, a man clothed in the likeness of sinful flesh, that in him dwells God Almighty. It can't be. It can't be that God in flesh would go to a cross and die. It can't be. Can't explain it. They couldn't either. And they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't have it. This world did not. This world does not believe that Jesus of Nazareth is God Almighty, the sovereign, eternal, omnipotent, living God. Now, the Bible teaches that he is. All the attributes of deity are in Christ. I'll give you just a few of them. Omnipotence. What does omnipotent mean? Omnipotence. It means all power. All power. And Christ said himself, I have all power, all authority in heaven, all authority in heaven. It's mine, he said, and all authority upon the earth. He had power over the sea. He had power over the winds. He had power over the animals. He had power over the fish. He had power over men. All power. God also is not only omnipotent, God is omniscient. He knows all things. Christ knew men's thoughts. Now, brethren, we know what happened yesterday. Christ not only knew what happened yesterday, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And the only way he can know what's going to happen tomorrow is because he is Lord and sovereign over tomorrow. We know what men do. Christ knew what they thought. That's omniscience. Also, omnipresence. That means he's everywhere at the same time. And he said to his disciples, lo, I'm with you always. John on the Isle of Patmos. Paul down in Ephesus and Corinth and Thessalonica, I'm with you. But Lord, how can you be with Paul and be with John too? I'm God. Holiness, in him no sin. And he said none good but God. Eternal existence. When Moses came to the burning bush on the mountain, and God told him to put off his shoes, he was on holy ground. And God told him to go to Egypt and bring the people out. He said, well, whom shall I say has sent me? What did the Lord God say from that bush? He said, tell them, I am. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was standing in Gethsemane's garden and the soldiers came to arrest him, he said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." You know what he answered? Same voice from that burning bush. The same words from that burning bush. Because he was the same God who spoke from that burning bush. He said, "I am. I am." They said, "Why, you haven't seen Abraham. You're not 50 years old." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am. I am." Jesus Christ is God. He has the power to create. He has the power to give life. He raised the dead. Thomas summed it up when he fell at his feet and said, "My Lord and my God." Now, brethren, when he said this, they didn't like it. Hated him. Now, the second time I read on, and I read over here in Luke chapter 4. In the fourth chapter of Luke, verse 31, or rather verse 28 and 29. Luke 4, 28 and 29. "And all they in the synagogue." Now, brethren, we're not talking about a bunch of fellas down on the wharf, a bunch of boatloaders, a bunch of drunks down on Skid Row. We're not talking here. When I say men hate Jesus Christ and despise him, we're not talking about a bunch of soldiers on a drunken spree in an island town. It says they were in the synagogue. They were in the church. They were in the first church of Jerusalem. That's where they were. They were in the first church of Nazareth. That's where they were. They were in the first church of Capernaum. That's where they were. The First Baptist, First Methodist, First Presbyterian, First Nazarene. They were in the church. That's where they were. "And when they heard these things," they didn't see him work a miracle. They didn't see him distribute food to the poor. They didn't see him raise the dead. They had no objections to those things. They heard him say something. "And when they heard it, they were filled with wrath. And they rose up and threw him out of the city," thrust him out of the city. They led him to the brow on the hill whereon the city was built, that they might murder him. Now, what in the world did he say that turned a Sunday morning worship outfit into a lynching party? I know, because I've done it. I've said the same thing. And I've experienced the same response. Turn a bunch of people who have got up on Sunday morning, dressed up and combed their hair and put on a little shaving lotion and a little powder and paint and perfume and a nice Sunday go-to-meeting dress and got their Bible out. First time they'd picked it up that week, and they got it out and tucked it under their arm, you know, and got the children all herded together and pinned the corsage on the lapel of their dress or suit, you know, and got in the car and drove down to the church and smiled at everybody and shook hands all around, just so glad to see you. And they went in, they listened to somebody sing, and the choir sang, and then the preacher read something, you know, and they sat there and got all settled down to hear a good sermon, and before that meeting was over, they were cursing and swearing and spewing and spitting, and fire and sparks were flying from their eyes and hatred from their mouths. And they took a man and pushed him outside the city and would have thrown him over a cliff. Now, what in God's name did he say? What did he say? Well, let's look. Here's what he said. In verse 24, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." I'm going to tell you a truth. This is the Lord of glory now. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said, "I speak the things I do know. I testify the things that I've seen." I'm telling you the truth. These people were religious. They thought because they were religious that God owed them salvation. They thought that because that their forefathers were Baptists or Methodists or Catholics or Presbyterian, and they were, that God was with their family and God was with their, they'd built a nice church, they'd kept the law, they'd done all these things, and God owed them heaven. God owed them salvation. God owed them life. That's what they thought. They were sitting there in all their presumption and satisfaction and assurance, just knowing that when we die, we're going to heaven. No doubt about it. We're God's people. He's our God. We're called Christians. These people were called Israelites. But Christ got up and he said, let me tell you something. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elias when it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months and everybody was starving to death. Great famine was throughout all the land of Israel. But unto none of these widows was Elias sent. God didn't send his prophet. God didn't send his miracle worker. God didn't send his mercy to any of them. To any of them. He sent his prophet to a Gentile woman. Unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. He sent his prophet to a Gentile woman. What Christ is saying to them is this: God doesn't owe you anything. God is sovereign. God will show mercy on whom he will show mercy. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. Salvation, eternal life, mercy is a gift. It's not a reward for service rendered. It's not a debt. It's a gift. Now read on. He said there were many lepers in Israel in the days, in the times of Eliseus the prophet, and not any of them were cleansed. If God passes by the whole nation, God will be just and God will be righteous. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? And God passed by all these lepers, and he healed Naaman, a Gentile, a Syrian. Our Lord is speaking to this crowd of religious worshipers. He's speaking to this crowd calling themselves the people of God. He's speaking to these religious people who had defended the law and morality and organization and their temples and tabernacles and synagogues all these years. And he said to them, you're not accepted of God by your works or because of who you are. Salvation is a gift of mercy and a gift of grace. God doesn't owe you anything. He may pass you by, and he'll be just if he does. And he may reach out to a drunk or to a harlot or to a profane swearer or to a blasphemer or to a Gentile dog and pass you by. And that's when they grew angry. You just don't tell a man that God might pass him by. You just don't tell him that. God's got no right to pass me by. Like one man said to me one time, if my mama's not in heaven, ain't nobody there. Hold on there now, boy. You just hold on a minute. That may sound pretty, and you may be complimenting mama, but let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus is in heaven, and all for whom he died are in heaven, and those who bowed to his sovereign scepter are in heaven. You may not be there, but it'll still be heaven without you. It was heaven before you were born. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe me anything. Moses said, Lord, turn to Exodus 33. Moses said, Lord, I'd sure like to see your glory. Moses had seen the water part. Wasn't that something? That wasn't enough for Moses. Moses had seen the sea turn to blood. Moses had seen the hail fall. Moses had seen the locusts and the lice and the frogs and the flies. Moses had seen the serpent made of a rod. Moses had seen the death of the firstborn. Moses had seen those things. And here he came down here in Exodus 33 and said, Lord, I'd sure like to see your glory. Show me your glory. I want to see the glory of the Lord. That which glorifies thee most. that in which the Lord of glory is most glorified. Show me your glory. Give me a preview of heaven. Give me a preview of glory. And God said, all right, Moses. Verse 19. Verse 18, Moses says, show me a glory. The Lord said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. That's my glory, my goodness, my grace, my mercy. Mercy to the undeserving, grace to the guilty, cleansing for the defiled. My mercy, God said, is my glory, not my judgment, not these parting of the sea and killing of the firstborn and judgments on the earth. My mercy is my glory, my goodness, mercy, grace. That's my glory. Well, I want to see it, Moses said. Okay, Moses, I'll let you see it. I will proclaim to you the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you who God is, he said. Now, your preacher ain't got the guts to tell you who God is. I'm talking to the radio audience now. But God said, Moses, I'm going to tell you who God is. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord, not a Lord, not some Lord, not any Lord, the Lord. You asked to see my glory, Moses, and I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you the glory of the Lord. It's not throwing songbooks from one side of the building to the other and jumping up hollering whoopee and beating on a guitar and singing a jivey tune. That's not the glory of the Lord. I'm going to show you my glory. Listen to it. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That's God's glory. That the Lord of glory should reach down on the dunghill of corruption and lift an old guilty, filthy, vice, covered, filled, vermin-filled, leprosy-filled sinner, and wash him and bathe him in the blood of his only son, and make him white as the driven snow, take him to glory and seat him on his right hand, and make him his son. That's God's glory. That's God's glory. Don't talk about the raising of a mountain or the splitting of a sea. The glory of God is the cleansing of the guilty. And he said, I'll show mercy on whom I will. I don't owe it to you. If you think I owe it to you, I'll pass you by. That's what he told these people in Luke 4. Israel thought that they had a corner on God. They thought God had to do something for them. Weren't they Israel? Didn't they have the prophets? Didn't they have the law? Didn't they have the ceremony? Didn't they have the tabernacle? They had it all, but they didn't have God. They didn't have God. You can have all the religious worship and service and ceremony and ritual. You can have all that without having God. Israel did. And this world today has it all. They've got all of it, but they don't have God. You want to know what made them mad? They hated him. We don't hate Jesus. Nobody's told you who he is. If somebody tells you who he is, we'll find out whether or not you hate him. But nobody's told you who he is. I'm telling you who he is. Do you like this? Well, I don't agree with that too much. I know they didn't either. And they were a little more emotional than some of you folks. It's against the law to kill me. But it wasn't against the law to kill him, so they tried to. You see what I'm saying? All right, let's find out why they hated him. Turn to John 6, verse 66. And I'm not talking to the 13th Street Baptist Church, and I talk about people hating God, because I know you love this gospel, but this message is going over the radio, and I want everybody in the tri-state area to know why they hated Christ. This is why they hated him. It's what he said. He said, I'm God. Not a representative of God. I'm God. And I'm a sovereign God. And I don't owe you anything. And if you get mercy, it'll be because I'm merciful. And then another thing, verse 66, John chapter 6, verse 66 says, from that time, from that particular time, many of his disciples, and these were learners and these were followers, not the 12, these were followers, went back and they said, "We'll walk no more with you." Now, what did he say? Well, turn back to verse 48. Here's what he said. I'm going to give you two or three things he said here. Verse 48, he said, "I am the bread of life. I am." Now, these people believe that acceptance with God was in their religious laws. Acceptance with God was in their religious works. Acceptance with God was in their what they were doing and how they were living and what they were producing religiously. That's what they believe. Just as men today preach and believe, though the Jews had the sacrifices, they had the blood, but they still believe that works save. They had the atonement. Their high priest offered the atonement every year. You say, but people today preach the blood. So did these Jews. They didn't only preach it, they shed it. They believed in the sacrifices. They believed in the Day of Atonement. They believed in the Passover. Why, they celebrated the Passover more than some churches celebrate the Lord's Supper. But they still believe that though they had the sacrifices and the atonement and the Passover, they still believe that when it came right down to it, that their acceptance with God was in what they did. That's exactly what they believe. And men today, sure, they preach the blood. Sure, they preach the cross. Sure, they preach the atonement. Sure, they preach the sacrifice. But when it comes right down to it, to the nitty-gritty of the whole thing, I am accepted by God, and I remain in the family of God, and I'm finally saved if I can fix my life up real religiously and live for God. Now, ain't that the truth? You know it's so. He's in heaven, is he? He was a good man. That's what everybody said. You know it's so. She's a fine Christian. Why do you say that? She's such a good woman. That's what you believe. That's what the world believes. He's a Christian, is he? Yeah, he lives such a fine, upstanding life. Is that the reason he's a Christian? Well, no, but you know. Yeah, I know. I know that's what you believe. Sure, well, I know Christ died. I know the atonement. I know the blood. I know the sacrifice. These people did too. But Christ said in verse 40, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the bread, the living bread. I am. Christ is the bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." That's where the whole thing is. It's in Christ's blood. It's not in the law. It's not in my works. It's not in my religion. It's not in my deeds. Christ said, "I am the Passover. I am the bread. I am the water of life." I am a Christian, my friend, not because I preach, but because Christ died on the cross for my sins. I am saved, I am redeemed, not because I'm a good man. I am not a good man. There's none good but God. I'm a sinner. I'm going to heaven because Christ took my awful, wicked, evil, sinful deeds and thoughts and imagination and paid for them on Calvary's cross. If my mother's in heaven, it's because Christ died for her, not because she is a good woman. If my son is in heaven, it's because Christ died for him, not because he was a good boy. You ain't got no good boys. Pardon the grammar, teachers. But folks, remember that. Like that woman came to the preacher and said, "I didn't like your grammar in the pulpit this morning." He said, "What did I say?" She said, "You said britches." So he said, what should I have said? She said, trousers is what you should have said. He said, what did I say before I said britches? She said, I don't know. He said, what did I say after I said britches? She said, I don't know. He said, if I hadn't said britches, you wouldn't heard nothing, would you? And so we word it that way. It's all right to say ain't if you know better. They hated vital union. That's what they hated. They hated vital union. The only reason you're saved, I wish I could show you how dirty you are in the sight of God. I just wish for just a few minutes that God Almighty would reveal your heart to you. Just how wicked, how wicked. There's enough evil in the heart of the best woman in this congregation to make another devil if God permitted it. There's enough evil in the heart of the finest moral, most moral man in this congregation to make a living devil if God turned you loose. God just take the bars off you for a little while. I was in the service in World War II. I saw some of those bars removed. I saw fellas who were 9,000 miles away from home, away from their pastor, and away from their church, and away from their wives, and away from their children, away from their neighbors, and away from everybody that knew them. And that's when you find out who a fella really is. But God knows who we are, and what we are, and what we are made of, and what we think, and what we imagine. Every imagination of the heart is evil. Well, turn to John chapter 6 again. In verse 60, it says here in verse 60, here's the fourth thing. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. This hard doctrine. Who can hear it? And the Lord Jesus knew in himself that they murmured at what he said. And he said, does this offend you? Me talking about me being the living bread, me talking about me being the water of life and the bread of life, me talking about salvation in a personal, vital, living union, and you're feasting on me, not on your works, but on me, and God the Father surveying you as you are in me. Is that hard? Read the next verse. You just wait. If you think that's hard, you wait till you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Oh, boy. If this world doesn't like Jesus Christ in his sovereign mercy, wait till they see him in his sovereign glory. If this world does not want Christ on the throne of creation and providence and salvation, wait till they see him where he was before, he said. You talk about being offended. You wait till you really see my glory. Men are determined to have personal glory. They're not content for Christ to have all the glory. But my friend, if these little simple words that this frail preacher declares this morning, if they offend you, if my talking, I can't tell you just how great he is. It's no way. I don't have the words. I don't have the vocabulary to tell you about his glory, about his preeminence, about how the Father hath exalted him. There's no way that I can declare unto you how low you really are and how high Christ really is. But if my frail words offend you and make you angry, wait till you see him as he is. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait, he said, do you see me in my original glory where I was before? They're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them. They're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to hide them from his face. They're going to beg for death because they can't stand his glory. If I could worship with 5 people or 50 people or 500 people who are bound and determined in their hearts to give Jesus Christ all the glory for redemption, for salvation, for eternal life, I'd rather worship with them than 5 million people. by any name. Because one of these days we're going to see him as he is. And if the words of some minister trying to tell you how great he is, if that offends you, wait till you get the full view. Wait till you get the full view. You talk about being offended. And then last of all, chapter 8, let me give you this, verse 59. Why did they hate? He said, they hate me. They hate me. He said he was God. He said he was sovereign. His mercy was sovereign. He said salvation's not in ceremony, salvation not in works. It's in God's grace, in God's Son. He talked about his glory. And then in John 8:59, then took they up stones to cast at him again. Now what did he say this time? You know what he said? There are two statements that brought out this second stoning episode. In verse 41, he charged them with treason against the Holy God. He said, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. And they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father. God is our father. And Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth from the Father, and I didn't come of myself. He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? It's because you cannot hear my words. You are of your father, the devil. God's not your father. God's not your father. Now, that's a cardinal sin in this day. Everybody believes in the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. There's a sense in which all men are brothers in Adam. And there's a sense in which God is the creator of all men in that he created Adam and they came from Adam. But God is not the father of all men. Christ said that right here. You are of your father, the devil. God is not your father. If God, verse 42, if God were your father, you'd love me. Brethren, the scripture says, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be the sons of God. The Bible says as many as are led by the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. By nature, we're sons of evil. By birth, we're sons of evil. By choice, we're sons of evil. By practice, we're offsprings of evil. And men resent this. They resent being told they're not God's children, that God's not their father. But I didn't start this. The Lord Jesus Christ said it right here. I just read it to you. He said, God is not your father. If God were your father, you'd love me. I came from the Father, and you'd recognize your brother if you were in God's family. I'll tell you who your father is, he said. Your father's the devil. And boy, they picked up some rocks, and they said, we're not going to listen to that. Well, today they don't pick up rocks. They fire the preacher. We're not going to listen to that. Well, we'll get us another preacher. We'll get us a preacher who will say what we want to hear. And we'll give him a big salary and furnish him a car and a place to live. And we'll pay him well, and he'll keep his mouth shut. They hate that, but it's true. It's true. He said, you are of your father the devil. Verse 47. Now listen to this. He that is of God. Look at it real good now. He that is of God will not only believe in the law, will not only believe in miracles, will not only believe in good works, but he'll hear God's word. Are you of God? I've been reading God's word this morning. I've been reading what Christ said. He said, they hated me. He said, I didn't know they hated Christ. People, they don't hate Christ. You tell them what he said and find out. Some of you got mothers and daddies that hate Christ. Some of you got brothers and sisters that hate Christ. Some of you got close friends that hate Christ. Some of you running around with people that hate Christ. And you take these five scriptures that I read this morning. Don't read about the stoning. Just read what Christ said and find out whether or not they hate Christ. They'll let you know real quick. These people did. They let them know real quick. They hated him. And they said, we're not going to hear this. Christ said, well, he that is of God will hear me. My sheep hear my voice. Our Father, by thy power and thy mercy and grace, give us ears to hear thy voice. Let us not, as Eve and Adam, listen to the voice of evil. Let us not, as Judas, listen to the voice of religion. Let us listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost. Reveal thyself to us, thy greatness, thy glory, thy power, thy mercy, thy blessed Son. We're nothing. Christ is everything. We're unclean. Christ is holy. We're death, darkness. Christ is life and light. Our hope is in him. He's our Redeemer. He's our refuge. Give us a song of praise on our lips and rejoicing in our heart, not for what we feel or what we've done, but for who he is. In his name we pray. Amen.